Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you once again. We were with you just a couple of weeks ago, and we were pressing on with you in your local assembly study, the book of Galatians, for this hour. And so we would like to go back to Galatians chapter 2, please. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at the beginning of chapter 2 in Galatians, the first 10 verses. And understand that Brother Allen went on further up to verse 16 last week. We want to pick up there, but for context's sake, let's go to verse 11 and begin reading there. Just again for context, think of Galatians as a book that has many contrasts. If you may recall, we see law and grace, works and faith, bondage and freedom, curse and blessing, servants and sons, condemnation, justification, promise and law, flesh and spirit, to name some contrast in this book. As we see in the first couple of chapters, we see Paul using his background and experiences to show truth concerning the gospel in view of false messages that arise. So note in Galatians 2, and let's read it verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew himself, separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews assembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas was also carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So again, as we try to pick up in the context, we come down to verse 16, picking up in the assembly study. Notice this tremendous verse 16 we see summarizing the truth at hand of justification by faith. It's interesting that we could compare this to another tremendous gospel section, such as Romans. In Romans chapter 3, there as we come to verse 21, the but now, where we see a tremendous answer to the argument already held in the courtroom of Romans, but now the righteousness of God. But at the end of the section before that, we see in Romans 3:20, Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But if we come back to our text of Galatians, we'd like to go back to Romans here in just a few moments. But as we press on into verse 17, keeping in mind this flow here, the context of Paul and testimony and experience that he has, in view of what he has said to Peter, we could see there in verse 17, but if, and we find here this concern brought before us in verse 17 and 18, and we see a God forbid there at the end of verse 17. Again, when we're studying Romans, you'll find in that, again, courtroom setting of Romans, there's a section some 10 times we see God forbid brought before us in the midst of Romans around chapters 3 to 6 in that area particularly. But we find here in this, verse 17, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid, or by no means. For if I build again the things which I destroyed or threw down, I make myself a transgressor, a sinner. Now, think of these things. As we see here that there are ones, of course, that opposed Paul and such and made accusation against him and such. And yet here we see that Paul had spoken to Peter. In one sense, we see Peter, you've been justified by faith. But now you confuse others by your compromise. We see how he had been put in a situation where pressure was upon him, and we see that compromise. And so therefore, to go away and to build up that which you've thrown down, we see, make yourself a transgressor. And so we see the great teaching and concern about not to mix law and grace and such as this. We're justified by faith and not by the works of the law. And so as we think of these terms in justification, moving down to verse 19, we notice, for I, through the law, am dead or died to the law, that I might live unto God. Now with this, let's go back to Romans for just a bit. Let's this time go to Romans chapter 7. The tremendous gospel treaty of Romans. What a tremendous place for the grounding of the gospel, comparing Romans and Galatians. How often when we find a person that has recently come to know the Lord Jesus, do we encourage them, read the book of John, and move from the book of John into grounding in the book of Romans and Galatians. And so we see here in this section of Romans that after the wherefore of 5:12, and we see that discussion between contrast between Adam and Christ, the end of 5. We see there the two heads, the federal heads, you might say. What we lost in Adam as compared to much more we've gained in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in chapter 6, we see the two masters, as it were. The dominion of sin as opposed to serving Christ. And then in chapter 7, as it were, we see the two husbands, as it were. We see us that are in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see He is the one in whom we're married to. And so, as we see these things, note in chapter 7, as we read in our text of Galatians 2:19, the term, I am dead to the law and such, we are reminded of the law, and yet back in Galatians 3:13, it speaks of the curse of the law and such. So we that receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we see that power of the curse of the law no longer has that dominion over us. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, the one in whom by the Spirit of God indwells us. And so by way of reminder, let's read the beginning of Romans 7, verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law of her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth she be married to another, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Now with that illustration, we move on and notice the wherefore. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of passions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, or having died, wherein we have were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. And so we are reminded here of these things concerning positional truths. We see positional and practical truths as you study this section in Romans, as you see things also is in certain portions of Galatians. Who we are in Christ and the practical responsibility in serving Him in our daily living. And so let's go back to our text of Galatians 2. Galatians 2. When we come to Galatians chapter 2 now, and we want to pick up there in verse 20. Verse 20, please. Now, when we read Galatians 2:20, how often do we see this as a passage, or as a verse that, well, is quoted in connection with holiness and sanctification, practical holiness, and quite well, a tremendous, powerful memory verse it is, and things concerning our Savior and His love to you and me, as noted at the end of the verse. But yet, let's think in connection with this verse in the context of what we have here is what Paul is doing in defending the gospel and the truth of the gospel and having to deal with Peter, as it were, and such as this. And we aren't justified by the law, but by faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be led by the indwelling Spirit and not by the law. We see this as opening up, in one sense, the rest of the book. Because when we look at the book of Galatians, beginning in chapter 3, on through chapter 6, and particularly in chapter 5, there's much about the Spirit of God, much about the leading of the Spirit of God in the life of the believer. For example, at the end of chapter 4, you might recall that there's an allegory given, as we see compared to the free woman and the bondwoman, as we think of Hagar and Sarah. And we see that tremendous allegory that is used there in chapter 4, beginning there at verse 21. And we see what a contrast, one of the contrasts in this book of Galatians, as we see the Spirit as opposed to the flesh. What a reminder through this allegory from Genesis. But when we come into chapter 5, and we see more about the Spirit of God, notice these different terms. We'll just walk through them in Galatians 5, just a little peek ahead. But in Galatians 5, we're going to see these different terms associated with our walk with the Lord Jesus and how the Lord works in our lives, being led of the Spirit. Our motive now is for the love of God that has been shed abroad in our hearts, with the power being by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Galatians 5 and 5, note here we see, "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." Wait. Then in verse 16, as following after the fulfilling here we talk about things of law of liberty and such tied in. You can see contrast with some things in James and such as this, but that being in around 13, 14 and such. But then in verse 16, we see the Spirit again. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So we see the wait, and now we see the walk. That brings us then to verse 18. "And if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." Wait, walk, led. Then the tremendous familiar passage there in verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." And so now we've seen wait, walk, led, and the fruit of the Spirit. And then finally, in verse 25, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." I believe that word walk this time has a different term if you look it up in the concordance in the previous time, but we see walk orderly or by rule or guide our steps. So we find to wait, to walk, to be led, the fruit to the Spirit, and to live and to walk again in the Spirit. Much in this book that will help the believer in our practical Christian walk in view of the foundation of being justified by faith. Let's go back now to our text in Galatians 2 and verse 20, please. "I am crucified with Christ." Here we think of that positional truth, as it were. We've died with Christ. We're in Christ. Again, Romans 6, we think of that. Let's go there for a moment. Romans 6. Romans 6. one of the God forbids that, or by no means, we find here. In Romans 6, verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead or died to sin live any longer therein? What a positional truth that we have in Christ. We realize that we have that sin nature and that battle that is there, practically speaking. But yet, here we are. We have died with Christ. We're dead to sin. We have a new master. And yet, as you walk through this chapter, we see those terms such as yielding, or serving, or obeying. Whom do you serve? Whom do you obey? Whom do you yield to? And yet, we see we have a new master now. Instead of us being in bondage by sin and Satan, we now have a new master. We have the Lord Jesus. And so, wonderful truths. It continues with this example, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried by him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Notice this, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. May we just summarize with verse 11. We find that word reckoned, as we found earlier in Romans in chapter 4, imputation, and that discussion earlier, being reckoned or counting. Likewise, reckon, verse 11, ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We find the tremendous positional truth. If you know Christ as your Savior, you're dead to sin, you're in Christ, you're alive to God, and that's made possible through his finished work and through the Spirit of God living and abiding in us. And now we have the opportunity to choose to serve the Lord Jesus and to yield to the Spirit instead of to that sin nature. The old man, or the unsaved man, doesn't have that opportunity. He is in bondage by sin. Now let's go back, as it were, and think of, as we've been reminded of how we have a new master in Christ. Back to Galatians as we look to wrap things up here. Galatians chapter 2. You'll notice there in that tremendous verse 20 that we see the term live, liveth, live, life, live, and live once again. And again, that word is used in verse 19, previous verse. So find that term several times. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Oh, we think of that hope of glory as it speaks of there in Colossians 1 of Christ in us. We think of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord living in us. And we think of the Spirit of God living and abiding in us. So we've already noted there in Galatians, the next following chapters, much along that line of the Spirit working in us and the truths concerning the Spirit of God. And yet he ties in practically, in a sense, that in the life which I now live in the flesh, I am here, I've not gone to heaven yet, but I live here, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Newberry renders it, I live in the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, what wonderful truths we see in John 3:16, that he loved the world and gave himself for it. We see in Ephesians 5 that he loved the church and gave himself for it. Yet here we see that personalized, individualized situation that we are reminded of. The truth that he loved me, Paul could say, with you and I, and gave himself for me. We see that little word for. That word for ties in with the theological term substitution. The substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that in this book back at the beginning. In Galatians 1, there in verse 4, having spoken of our Lord Jesus Christ in verse 3, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Yet again, we see that for over in chapter 3, as we made acknowledgement of this earlier, in chapter 3, we see there, and we'll pick up at verse 11, 3:11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Verse 13. Christ has redeemed us, bought us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He has been in our place. He has been in our room, in our stead. He died for us. He's redeemed us. We've been bought with a price. We have much to be thankful for when we think of what the Lord Jesus has done on our behalf. And then we come to verse 21. Time's sake would not have us to expand just that tremendous verse into verse 20, that phrase of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And yet we had a glorious opportunity this morning to ponder on that, didn't we? And to think about our glorious Savior. Concluding and wrapping up this section, we find verse 21. Here we see that he says, I do not frustrate or cast off or reject the grace of God. For if righteousness came by or through the law, then Christ is dead or died in vain, needlessly. So we think of how the summarizing of this, in one sense, when you read this very verse, how could we not believe the clarity of this truth? Christ, he did not die in vain. There was a purpose, and we must hold to the truth of the gospel. He did not die in vain. Oh, may we not frustrate the grace of God. With that, let's look to the Lord in prayer and pray that we'll go away being encouraged in the things of our Savior and the truths that we have that's been afforded to us. We've been justified by faith, and yet we think of how we have responsibility to yield unto Him, to serve Him, to obey Him as we have a new master, and yet we're married to another. We have the wonderful Savior is the one who is also our head. May one of the brothers close us in prayer.